Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Wrestling with Kayfabe. Your boy Papa Shrill here with DEJ. What's going on?
Oh, not much. It's getting more interesting as the week goes on. SmackDown will have their go-home show in a couple of days. Raw just had theirs. New champion already. Right. For summary. Well, when I messaged you the other day, I said McIntyre won the challenge Reigns. I went, oh shit.
I guess put two and two together at first, really.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really think about it too much other than like, oh, okay, he obviously he wants to stay relevant in the title mm-hmm. picture. And I didn't really think too much of it. And then we get to last night, and there's mm-hmm. a WWE Championship match with McIntyre, and lo and behold,
yeah,
McIntyre is now a two-time WWE champion.
Which... I mean, we've talked about it on the show before. I'm fine with McIntyre being the champion, but there's no point of giving Randy Orton the belt. Maybe a report came in that Edge is injured longer than they thought.
Yeah.
And that could be why he has the belt back, because I don't think that was the plan for McIntyre to go over to, challenge Roman. Because story-wise, that just doesn't make sense. The way they were going with it. And they had a good build around Randy being the champion. But something had to happen with Edge, or it was going to take him probably literally till Mania to be healthy. So I think they decided, I don't think we can do much with Orton until then. So, and I think for that rivalry to pay off, you have to give Orton the title. And you just have to. Having another non-title match is cool, but it just doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I feel you there. It adds another level of significance to...
And it's something they never had before.
Right.
Huh. Which is weird to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. But
they've never had a title match mm-hmm. against each other.
That is crazy when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of just blew my mind a little bit.
But, I mean, McIntyre Reigns is going to be fantastic.
Absolutely, I think so, too.
The only thing that worries me is that do you give Roman a blowout nod at this point? Or do you let McIntyre carry 70% of the match?
Yeah, that's tough. I think that either way, there's a way to make them both look good in this match. And I think that's utilizing the Usos
mm-hmm.
In the finish, at least. Maybe throughout the match. But maybe the whole Orton play was... I think that you're probably... very possibly spot on with the Edge thing mm-hmm. and maybe him being out longer than anticipated or something like that. But maybe it was a play to try to make Randy Orton look strong to be able to take the belt off McIntyre and then drop it back. Because I think that that would have been 3 or 4 pay-per-view losses in a row for Orton.
Right, and they could
through that rivalry.
And that's what we said in our Hell in a Cell mm-hmm. preview and review, is that he could not lose that match. For it to be any legitimacy at all, Randy Orton could not lose that match.
Right.
He had to win. And he did. But...
but then again, at the same time for me, I mean, how much stronger does that really make Orton look? Because, you drop the belt back a week... 2 weeks later.
Right. And I think they made it look like it was such a good match that it could have gone either way because Orton countered the Claymore like 5 times.
Right.
So, did it make Orton look bad? No. But story-wise, does it make sense? No, of course not. But...
I get what they're trying to do story-wise, kind of, a little bit, just with McIntyre, because they want him to be a very strong top guy, mm-hmm. and I get. I think the storytelling of it is that the Survivor Series pay-per-view in general and the thought of facing Roman Reigns in a champion versus champion match drove him to get the belt back before Survivor Series so he could have that match with Roman Reigns. And, you know, like, I don't hate that, but it makes sense and it doesn't. Like you're saying, it doesn't make sense necessarily, but at the same time, like, they tried to put as much logic into it as possible. So, moving forward, I mean, what do you see for Randy Orton? Because now this probably puts him off the card altogether for Survivor Series.
And it probably puts him off the card. And maybe he, you know, gets some time off for a while. That's typically what Randy Orton tends to do when he loses a title match, gets some time off.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
To give him some time and give, you know, the WWE Universe some time from him.
And it looks like they're setting up McIntyre Sheamus.
Right.
Which, I don't know. Like, you know, same finisher, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What?
I don't love it, but I don't hate it, actually, really, thinking about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, I think that might have been last episode, just about Sheamus. Sheamus just doesn't excite me at all, really. But I don't dislike, because they have a little bit of history together, I think, right? So I don't know. I mean, I don't hate it. I always like when, you know, they, especially like for McIntyre, he's kind of a lesser, I don't want to say known, but like lesser of a star, you know. He's not like this, you know, overwhelming superstar yet,
right?
And I like when they sew in, you know, things from the past, especially with guys like that. I think that gives a real boost to what they're doing. Even just the Roman Reigns and Jey Uso thing. I thought that was brilliant, you know.
Right.
And it's panned out. So, I think with Sheamus and Drew McIntyre, we'll get a good match out of it. I hope that they don't string it out too much longer than that. So, I guess we're going to be looking at what probably TLC we talked about is next.
Yeah. TLC's so next, yeah.
We'll probably get them at TLC. And then I hope, you know, by Royal Rumble he's moved on. And maybe by the Rumble Randy comes back and takes the belt back off of him. I mean,
yeah, I feel like for that to happen, you kind of have to have some sort of match to where it's just not the two of them. Kind of like a championship scramble.
Okay.
Which, I mean, they could do one, and they have plenty of people to cause that. You know, AJ Styles, Sheamus, Keith Lee.
You're talking about with Orton coming back? Yeah.
Yeah. Drew McIntyre, AJ Styles, Sheamus, Braun Strowman, Keith Lee.
Yeah, Raw's got a good roster.
Yeah. So, I mean, they could do something like that.
Yeah, I would really like to see AJ Styles really back at the top of the card.
Well, I think that's kind of where we're heading towards with him, putting him at captain of the Raw team. So, I mean, I think they're heading towards that direction, but he didn't have much to do on SmackDown, really, for the past year and a half.
And he, had he just been on SmackDown since the brand split? So, I mean, that's like 4 years of, you know, being on one show.
Which, I mean, he had his moments on SmackDown.
Absolutely. I loved the run he had on SmackDown. I loved, like, I know it was there at the beginning, but, you know, just where he was, I feel like he was definitely the leader of SmackDown and the house that Styles built, you know, all that stuff.
It's so wild to see him from, you know, TNA to what he is now. Which, I mean, even then he was a star then.
I love how they try to capitalize. They still, to this day, try to capitalize on whatever WWE's doing. I'll see on YouTube, and it'll be like free matches of, you know, maybe somebody that's hot right now in WWE that, you know, was one of their guys, whether it be Styles or Samoa Joe, you know, anybody like that.
Yeah, it's crazy to see those guys. I mean, I know Samoa Joe's had his injuries, but and he's made a career out of it. Short start to career of commentary, which I mean, I think he's pretty good at.
Yeah, I think he is too. I like him on commentary.
Kind of reminds me of a Taz.
I could see that. Not quite as wound up as Taz, like a little bit more mellow, but a little bit better on the call. I always thought that Taz was like, not necessarily great on the call, but like his charisma and his, the way he did it, you know, made it come off. And, you know, even, I mean, really that second commentary guy, like that's what you're for. You're, you know, you're for, you're there for really, you know, just bringing a character to life kind of deal.
And I mean, with Raw with three people, which still I don't really understand why they're doing that, but
really, I like the three-person commentary. Really, in anything, I like three people.
Huh. I don't know. I guess I just got so used to JR and...
Right. I feel you. And sometimes it feels a little bit crowded, but, like, you know, whether it's a UFC event, I like when they have three guys.
Yeah, those... I mean, but I think that's... I think you can call for three guys for that. I mean, you have the two announcers, then the, you know, previous fighter.
I think, well, I just think with it being, because on Raw it's Saxton, Joe, and is it Cole or is Cole on, Cole's on SmackDown?
No, it's
Tom something, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, but it's those three. I think that they kind of like maneuver amongst each other pretty good for three. I feel you sometimes like it's too crowded, but I like when it's done right. I like any sport besides maybe like football on the radio. If I'm listening to the radio or something. Right. So.
Yeah, I mean, but so many of those calls with JR and King are so great.
Absolutely.
I was watching the other day. It was like some random pay-per-view from when they were both still doing it. And they were so in tune with each other. And they didn't miss. I mean, the King's jokes were stupid but great. And they both just understood how to call wrestling matches together.
And yeah, they had a great dynamic together.
They did. And I know JR has had a lot of shit happen since then. But it feels like it's not the same in AEW.
Yeah, I definitely feel you there. I mean, it's not the same good old JR. Definitely a different version. I think even, you know, talking about having three, I think that that works perfect for them because, you know, JR isn't as much as what he was. And then you've got Shivani and then Excalibur, I think, is their crew that they have. But, which I think that they work pretty well. Every time I've watched AEW, I've enjoyed the commentary, but I also, you know, for us, for, you know, our age, I mean, that's like Nostalgia Fest right there, just the commentary team. You have Tony Schiavone that was the voice of WCW during the Monday Night Wars, and you have JR, the voice of WWE during the Monday Night Wars. So, I mean, it's absolutely awesome for them to be together on a crew at this point. But, yeah, JR's not quite the same, and I think that it might be probably, you know, just life wearing down on him, really.
Well, I mean, he's had a shitty past 4 years.
Yeah.
And with his wife being tragically killed on his front yard, basically. And, you know, all his bouts with Bell palsy and stuff like that. I mean, it's probably hard for him to want to do it. But I think, you know, it doesn't get more classic than JR.
Absolutely.
Transitioning back to something a little more recent. I'm digging Jey Uso being a bodyguard for Roman Reigns. Because when McIntyre came down Friday, he was challenging Roman, but Jey Uso came out and basically said, if you're going to challenge Roman, I'll step up for him. And they had easily one of the best matches of Jey Uso's career.
He's been on fire.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on absolute fire lately. And it's awesome to see, especially given, you know, even definitely, I think everybody expected them to be a tag team and neither one of them to really go much further than ever being
right.
more than just a tag team. And I think it's awesome to see, you know, kind of the mold to be broken with Jey lately. And has shown that, you know, that that can be broken. He can be a single superstar, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that's awesome to see with that lately. How do you feel about booking the way WWE works sometimes and how, I mean, we touched on it already a little bit talking about the championship situation, but with championship booking when a Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre situation happens, like, where you give the belt, I mean, transitional champion. I guess we've talked about it a little bit already
right.
on our podcast, right. but how do you feel about the transitional champion?
It really just depends on who the person is. When they did it to Edge for WrestleMania 22, when it was supposed to be Edge and Triple H, but ended up being Cena and Triple H. Which, I understand that match. I understand Triple H and John Cena. That's a good match. But I think if you and Edge, I think they felt like Edge just wasn't there yet. But if you gave him a chance, he would have seen he was already there. And Edge Triple H would have been great. I thought that, I mean, two of the best minds in the business, I think that would have been a fantastic match. But really, I think it just depends on who the champion is and what the story is about it. I'm trying to think of some transitional champions we've had recently. Obviously, Randy Orton. I don't like that one that much, but it is what it is.
They did it to Bray, WrestleMania 34.
Yeah, they did. But I understood that, because that was, that's the payoff to the story, and you kind of saw that coming. I don't think you get anywhere with that match if it's not for the title.
I think that it should have been done later on. I think Bray, especially with the stupid-ass roaches and worms in the ring and all that stuff playing yeah. up to that, I feel like he definitely should have at least taken the Mania match.
Right.
And then when you get to the, I can't even remember the name of the match where he burned down
The
Shack.
The House of Horrors match.
Yeah, House of Horror match. Yeah. I think if you would have waited until then, or even play it how they did Braun and Bray and The Fiend, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. Recently, where they could have booked it the same way. Not even be a title match. Let him burn down the Shack and then come back and, you know, beat him for the title the next month. I mean, that would have been, you know, more of a substantial run for Bray. Not another devastating loss at WrestleMania, but, I mean, right. that's neither here nor there now.
Well, I mean, it doesn't affect him now.
That's what I'm saying, I mean.
Yeah, I think,
in that time, I think that was the final nail in the coffin to that character, really.
Right, which ended up being a good thing.
Absolutely.
So, to me, I think Bray Wyatt kind of knew that character was at an end. I think he's so smart when it comes to the business that he kind of felt like there wasn't much left for that character to do. And then he just kind of took time off.
And yeah, he really is a brilliant mind. And yeah, it's amazing to see. I'm almost amazed that through all of this, he's never done anything with Bo. Especially because I feel like Bo showed he was pretty solid in NXT back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely really enjoyed his work with Neville. Mm-hmm. When he dropped the belt to Neville and then came up to the main roster after that. And I don't think that Bo's ever really got a chance to showcase anything, but, you know, just even the difference between those two of, you know, seeing the mind that Bray has, because, I mean, shit, Bray was Husky Harris at one point in time.
Yeah, and he was in Nexus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that just, it didn't work out very well until we figured out Bray Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they never correlated the two between each other. They did with B-Team and when The Fiend first came, for a little bit. But I don't know. I think WWE just kind of let Bo Dallas go away. And I think he's a producer now, actually.
Interesting.
Just like, you know, how was Kurt Angle's son?
Oh, Jason Jordan.
Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a producer now, too. So
he had a neck injury that ended his career, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So I think, for the most part, they kind of like those guys that don't have much of a ring career left. They kind of let them produce.
Yeah.
I don't think there was much you could do with Bo Dallas, really, other than put him with Bray. And they could. Who knows?
Right.
But I don't think they're going to do that.
I think this is a perfect time to transition from us looking at a brighter side of WWE, with them kind of hanging on to guys and giving them different jobs here and there, to the dark side of WWE, and recently releasing Zelina Vega from the roster for her third party, whatever the hell they call it, but they released her. They gave out a notice that all wrestlers were to turn in their YouTube, Twitch, you know, all that type of stuff, and Vega is the first casualty of that. She was not willing to give up her other money outside. So at this point, WWE is really pushing these wrestlers into essentially a 360 deal. If you look at it from like a music type perspective.
Yeah.
It's a sticky situation.
Look, I mean, if they had a union, if they were unionized people,
which I think is coming.
I don't think it is.
Because
of how I agreed with you a while ago, but after hearing how independent contracts work, and this was explained by Mick Foley in some interview.
Okay.
He said that's how you make as much money as you do, because you represent yourself.
Right.
You have to make the money for yourself, not have someone try to convince you to make enough money, because you're not going to make as much money. He said the whole reason I made as much money as I did in my career is because I was the representative of myself, and I had to show my own way into doing it. He said if you get into a union, there's just one person, and the stories won't be as good, because then you just have to have everyone get involved in a story. And I know people think that, you know, everyone needs a push, but not everybody needs a push. And even when they get a push, it ain't that great.
Okay, I feel you from that side of things, to think of a union and, you know, a bunch of fair play and stuff like that, because at this moment, it's just about pay.
Right.
And I think that's the big thing. Because I agree, there are some definite bad sides to unionizing, and if like that were the case of, you know, like everybody's gotta get pushed once a year or something at some point, you know, and has to have X amount of TV time and, you know, things of that nature, I don't think would be good for WWE. I don't think it would be good for the fans. I do think, though, that we need a little bit of creativity given back to the wrestlers. And I definitely don't think that they should be holding these wrestlers hostage from making money. Because, you know, like you're saying, how Mick said, like, I agree with that 100%. And I don't think that there's, you know, wrestlers have been independent contractors, you know, since the dawn of time.
Right.
Dawn of wrestling, you know, so It's such a sticky situation, because essentially now it's just WWE that's taking advantage of the situation, and it's not good for anyone, because even if the wrestlers are to counteract that with the union, there are big drawbacks to the union for wrestlers and the fans alike, and I just, man, from the moment they announced the move, you know, sending wrestlers this, you know, cease and desist of their online property. Mm-hmm. It's bad. And it's a bad look. And, I mean, they're getting to, like, NCAA levels of bullshit with that. And especially now that they're showing that they're willing to fire people. And I feel like, I mean, I guess Vega's not, like, a major, major player, but I feel like she's a big part of, like, the Andrade Cien Almas character. Mm-hmm. Like, she is a huge part of it. That's, like, she right. is the, like, you know, if you, and I know WWE doesn't hold up, like, long-term stuff, but the whole reason he became the character that he is because, you know, she was, you know, the one that set him straight and, right. you know, said, okay, you're going to be one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. Let's, you know, like, stop partying and let's do this. And that's when he became NXT champ, got bumped up to the main roster, had those great matches with Rey Mysterio. Mm-hmm. So I think that, and even with him and, was it Garza? Angel Garza?
Yeah.
You know, like, being their manager. So, I mean, they show that they're not afraid to fire somebody that's, you know, on TV, in your face, you know, type of thing.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. But I think from a business standpoint, I understand where WWE is coming from. If you are paying your people enough for them to feel like they need more, kind of makes it feel like they don't really want a contract with you. I think that's why Vince was so is in so favor of exclusive contracts. You know, because Chris Jericho had an exclusive forever. And then Chris Jericho said, I don't want it anymore. Or he said he wanted to stay, but he said, I don't want an exclusive. And Vince just didn't want to do it. If you make the money, and if you have the ball in your court, you want to keep everything in your court. You don't want the money to come in from other places. Is it fair? Not necessarily. You know, is it fair that they don't get to make as much money or even more money than they do in WWE? No, not necessarily. But it's such a rare job, and it's such a once in a lifetime opportunity for those people. I think to them, meaning WWE, to them, it's kind of squandering their opportunity that they were given. I like wrestlers coming out and doing their own thing, but you kind of have to realize that your contract negates that just for the fact of making sure that you're in the business together. Because once you see WWE wrestlers leave, then they go on the Shoot podcast and the Shoot interviews, and those are really fun to watch.
Absolutely.
But most of the time, there isn't much said poorly about Vince McMahon. And yeah, there's some big guys. I mean, Bret Hart, obviously, but...
Well, other than his lack of,
right.
You know, show production and...
Right.
And I don't mean that in an awful way. Just the booking shit that we complain about. We all right. complain about. The fans, right. the wrestlers, everybody. I think, though, the only thing that, like, with Vince that has to realize kind of what he's doing, and I know AEW maybe hasn't absolutely taken off, maybe isn't at the level that, like, WCW was mm-hmm. back in the day, but he's setting up that environment, I think. I think he's absolutely setting up that environment because, you know, when you look at back in the day, wrestlers left because they had to work, they worked less days with WCW. They made more money, and they had creative control.
Right.
And with an organization that is basically run by wrestlers, I think that it looks, you know, the grass looks so much greener. And it may not be necessarily, but look at guys like Dean Ambrose, you know, Jon Moxley.
Right.
that, you know, are going to go over there and thrive. There's plenty of guys that could go over there and absolutely thrive over there. And in the long run, maybe make more money, honestly, because you've got, with the exclusivity, essentially, of, you know, not being able to do a YouTube channel, not being able to do your Twitch. I mean, how much money are you bringing off of that? Because, I mean, a guy like AJ Styles that's, you know, a top, you know, flight guy that, you know, he's going to make a lot of money. Xavier Woods, you know, that has this whole up, up, down, down show, right. You know. That's a lot of money. And I think that he transitioned that to WWE Network a while ago. But nevertheless, and then at the same time, especially if you're a guy like AJ Styles that's at the top of the card, you're looking over and saying, well, what about John Cena? Mm-hmm. What about him doing all these commercials? What about him doing all these movies? Are you getting a cut of that? Are you, you know, is that like... And I get that it's John Cena, it's different, and he may not even be under contract right now.
I don't think he is.
But at the same time, if I was a, you know, AJ Styles, Randy Orton, any of these guys that are at the top of the card, and now that's being taken away from me, and you've got a guy like John Cena that is capitalizing off of his fame in the same way that you think that you can, that's going to be frustrating. That's going to make me kind of look at like, okay, well, what would they offer me, you know, salary-wise? How much more money could I make? Twitch, YouTube, you know, whatever. You know, what's the actual numbers look like? And then at the end of the day, they own me. WWE owns you. When you walk in the door, you own... WWE owns you. There's a reason Dean Ambrose is John Moxley.
Right.
Zack Ryder is Matt Cordova.
Right.
You know, you have to go and change your name. They try to... I kind of agree with some of the stuff that you said about, you know, being in together and everything, and, you know, people haven't said a lot of things about, you know, awful things about Vince, necessarily, but at the same time, you know, and I know it's the business of over years and years of Vince being in the business and kind of, like, trying to corner the market, and he's done that very, very well, but at the same time, like, you're an independent contractor,
right?
And if you sign with this company... They take away your name. They take away, you know, any other income stream. They take away, you know, they strip you to nothing, essentially. Right. And then, if you have any issue with anything, you know, maybe you're not getting pushed. Maybe you're a big name from somewhere else, and they resent the fact that people love you. You know, Daniel Bryan, when he was, you know, CM Punk is a great example of that. And then now you're forced to be into the system, and now if you leave, everything is taken away from you. And you're starting over now.
Yeah.
Not necessarily literally, because obviously we know who these people are. We know who Jon Moxley is. He's a star. But in a sense, you're starting from scratch.
You are. But... To me, if you were meant to be a star, you'll be a star again.
I feel that.
You know, I mean, obviously Jon Moxley was going to be a star no matter where he went. I think what a lot of people forget is that you chose to get into the WWE. They offered you a deal, but you took it. So you knew what you were taking when you signed that contract. So that I've never understood why people complain about something when you knew all that. If you knew all that, then don't sign the deal.
I feel you. You know about it, but at the same time, that doesn't make it right.
Well, no, but I mean, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Fair.
I don't. But... On the stuff with, you know, John Cena and The Rock and people like that, I know those are very huge stars. And I don't think people realize how big those stars actually are. You know, Cena's had arguably, well, not yet, but I think he can, arguably as much success as The Rock has had since leaving WWE. I think he's on his way. He's had a couple of good rated movies. He's getting commercial deals. He's getting all this. So I think he's getting there. And obviously The Rock has been a star for years now.
Yeah, it's crazy to think he's damn near, you know, like one of the very top movie stars in the world. That's insane.
Well, I think he's technically the highest paid actor in the world.
Right.
Which is crazy. But it's deserved. Because, I mean, he proved he can do both. So for people to hate on people who can do both is silly. But getting back to the contracts.
I just want to add to that. I don't think that it's the fact that they can do both. It's that they're allowed to do both.
Well, and, but, I mean,
you know, maybe these other people are not allowed to do that.
Well, I think The Rock went to do the movie and he was not under contract anymore.
Well, yeah. The Rock is way different story because at this point he's an actor.
Right.
You know, he's not even a superstar. Like, you know, when he comes back, we're getting, you know, a former wrestler back, essentially, you know. With Cena, the reason I brought him up is because, you know, he's obviously been more active in the product the last few years. He still had a match at WrestleMania this past year. He's still been, you know, obviously he's definitely transitioned into a part-timer in the last couple of years. But he's, you know, involved. He's still involved with WWE. I think you definitely still expect him either, you know, when all of, you know, the COVID is over, or maybe just when we get back to WrestleMania 37, you expect to see John Cena. You know, you expect John Cena to be part of the product. And with that, you know, he's essentially still somewhat of a roster member with air quotes.
And I mean, who knows how much of that is just a one-off contract.
Absolutely. So that may be the difference. Mm-hmm. You know, Cena is signing per match. So-and-so is signing per year, you know. Right. So,
because, I mean, those Vince's legendary per-matches contracts are like $50,000.
Yeah.
And, I mean, obviously you have to be a $50,000 guy or a $100,000 guy. Mm-hmm. I think Chris Jericho said his highest one-off match was like $125,000.
That's crazy.
Something like that.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho, his whole career has been, like, pushed down by whoever, and it is pretty cool to see him in his 40s be this, like, megastar, you know? And especially with all the build, and to be still under WWE contract and go and wrestle at Wrestle Kingdom against Kenny Omega is pretty astonishing, especially what we're talking about right now. You know, the fact that you can't even make a YouTube channel.
Right.
And Chris Jericho went across the fucking world to wrestle for a rival promotion.
Right.
I think, I wish, and I don't think we'll ever see this again, but I wish promotions, well, we are, so I shouldn't say that, but I wish WWE was more willing to work with other people. Because we're seeing somewhat of a Impact / AEW crossover we've seen the last few weeks. I know Don Callis came to AEW, but I wish WWE would be more willing, and especially because, I don't know, I mean, obviously speculation, I don't know what is going to happen with AEW in the future, but, you know, maybe to see some type of the same sort of trajectory. Let's maybe do an invasion angle without having one company bought the other. Or just even a blow-off card would be fun. I don't know. But either way, that's besides the point.
It is, and I think that's fantasy booking. You know,
absolutely.
A lot of people want to see different matches, but to round all this up, to have the opportunity to be in WWE is something you don't want to miss. And it's probably the most money you've ever seen in your life. Because, I mean, those solo shows, those gym shows are, you know, $50 a night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're you're bashing your head in, you know, 50 chairs.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows how much money each contract is. I'm sure there's a set amount for, you know, developments, and I'm sure there's a set amount for women that are developing, and they get more. And same thing with men, you know, they get more as they climb up the ladder. But it's all about your ability. I know people get upset, you know, when they see someone who has a hot streak like Zack Ryder had, mm-hmm. when it was with Eva Marie and John Cena.
Yeah, and honestly, really, when you think about it, I mean, maybe this ban is honestly better for the wrestlers than anything. I mean, it's not, but at the same time, like, you're talking about the Zack Ryder situation. I mean, he essentially got punished for getting over online and mm-hmm. on YouTube. And, you know, got fucking crushed on TV. You know, there's that hilarious, you know, of Kane throwing him off the mm-hmm. the stage. And, I mean, that was essentially the death of the Zack Ryder character. So, you know, maybe some guys like that won't get as crushed. And then it was already an odd gray area because, I mean, think about the Matt Hardy situation with Impact, where he did a lot of that. Really, all the multiverse shit was all on his YouTube channel.
Right.
And so WWE and Impact had to battle it out in court over if Matt Hardy owned the rights to that, or did Impact own the rights to that. And, you know, that got obviously super messy. And I think that it ended up being Matt Hardy was the owner of that content. But that just goes back to the, you know, like what I was saying about, you know, you kind of got to start over. Because, you know, whatever, you know, wrestling company you're with, they can try to set the precedence that they own, you know, whatever, whether it's your name, whether, you know, your whole gimmick, your, you know, whatever it may be.
Right. A lot of different stuff. Well, since we have, you know, we're kind of jumping places, but since we have Survivor Series on Sunday, might as well make some predictions before we wrap this one up.
Damn, that is this Sunday.
This is Sunday. Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. I don't think SmackDown has a fifth yet. Still
waiting on one more.
I think so.
I'm going to pull this up on our handy-dandy phones real quick and check this card out. Obviously, we're going to have the WWE Champion versus the Universal Champion, McIntyre and Reigns. I think I'm pretty excited for that match. I think that it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be fun to watch, especially how they book that. Going back to the Men's Survivor Series match, obviously Team Raw is set in stone. We've got Keith Lee, AJ Styles, Sheamus, Braun Strowman, and Matt Riddle. They're taking on Kevin Owens, Jey Uso, King Corbin, Seth Rollins, and TBD. So we're still missing one guy that I'm sure we'll find out this Friday night. Before I just jump on to the Women's Survivor Series match, let me let you know what I'm talking about. Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, Lacey Evans, Peyton Royce, and Lana for Team Raw. And then for SmackDown, two women still missing from that roster. So far we have Bianca Belair, Ruby Riott, and Liv Morgan. So, two interesting matchups. So three total people that we're going to be unsure of going into Friday night.
Well, I mean, is it is it the return of The Undertaker for the fifth SmackDown guy?
Man. That would be really, really interesting. I wouldn't even mind it.
I feel like it could be. Because with all the guys on Raw and how big they are, I
mean, and they've made that kind of a point of how, you know, beefy that team is. That would, and with AJ Styles in there, that ties into,
or is it,
you know,
Brock,
that was his last
feud. Or is it Brock Lesnar?
That would also be really interesting if Brock came back
probably
as a SmackDown
not.
Superstar. But I highly doubt Brock, yeah. Brock said, there's fucking COVID. I made a bunch of money. Fuck y'all, I don't need to wrestle. Yeah. Just to get off track for a second, how do you feel about, like, the second Lesnar run? Because personally, I really love it. Like, just this whole time that he's kind of been in WWE since he came back from the Octagon, and he kind of just doesn't give a shit. And win a belt, not be on Raw for, you know, 6 weeks.
Well, I think this was technically his third run. Because he came back.
Well, I just mean in general since he came back the night after WrestleMania 28. Yeah. And attacked John Cena.
Mm-hmm. I don't mind it. You know, yeah. I think they booked him a little too strongly at times.
Yeah.
I don't know. He needed to lose more than he did. Especially when he had the title. But holding it off TV was annoying to me. It didn't really add anything to it. Because it was just somebody trying to be the number one contender, then they just lose. So there was no point of holding him off TV. You know, I know that was all him.
And I was about to say, his contract held him off TV. Yeah. He didn't want to show up, he didn't have to.
But, you know, I don't know. Business-wise, it was a great move by him. Just WWE-wise, I think they could have done more with it. I think Paul Heyman knew they could have done more with it. But I don't think Paul Heyman is going to raise his voice with Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Nor would I. Brock Lesnar's going to do what he wants.
Absolutely.
And that's not a gimmick. That's not, you know.
I think I've really enjoyed all of it. Because it's not a gimmick. He just doesn't give a fuck. He wants money, and that's what he's here for. Right. And I think that although it is annoying as a fan, it is also comical to me that sometimes he shows up and does not care to put on a good match. Sometimes he shows up and puts on one of the best matches that you've seen.
Yeah.
You know, in years. And then it's like, oh, right, this is Brock Lesnar. Like,
right.
But anyways, I just wanted to get your take on that since he came up.
I mean, I think Brock Lesnar has perfected Vince McMahon's system.
Yeah.
Pay me as much money as you possibly can. I will show up and then I will leave.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's exactly what Vince McMahon's system was built for, and I don't think that's what people understand. That's what it's built for. Make as much money as you can, leave, and then wait for a phone call.
Yeah, and then make an epic comeback 2 years later, or, you know, yeah. I feel you. And, I mean, how many guys have, you know, done that and had, you know, some crazy payoff?
Right.
Before we get into the rest of our predictions, or I guess before we actually get into our predictions, this is another thing I was thinking about, this week, and, I forgot to get to the point earlier, but why I brought up before we started recording on air of, so I've been playing WWE 2K19 this last week a bunch, and there's this, Japan Dome Arena. It's cool, like, just a little basic arena. It's, like, I think it's supposed to be the Tokyo Dome, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I've just been playing random one-off matches and play now of, you know, just greats versus greats. Like, I did Piper and Flair. I can't think off the top of my head another one. But anyways, so I've been doing these, you know, one-off matches and stuff and having fun with that. And it kind of got me to thinking about, like, classic one-off shows that were, like, house shows here and there. And how, like, that's kind of resulted in, nowadays, that's kind of like, you know, the Super Showdown that we had, the Crown Jewels. And how they're kind of like a glorified, huge house show, the Greatest Royal Rumble. Things like that. That's like, it's all for fun, and the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know, these shows may have gotten a little bit of a bad rap. And if, you know, say in 20 years, if that was not, like, filmed or recorded, wasn't, like, a whole thing necessarily, would we see them differently? You know, kind of like the ones back in the day. I can't think of it right now, but the one in Korea that they did, that they said that, you know, had the biggest attendance to any wrestling event ever. But there's been all kinds of those shows, like, throughout time. Mm-hmm. And what you kind of think of, like, what these, I guess that the Super Showdown was in Australia, but then the Saudi Arabia events, where it's kind of like you're giving a different audience essentially a WrestleMania, but it's kind of a glorified house show in the scheme of things. I know Goldberg almost killed Undertaker at one of them.
Yeah.
But I just think that, like, it is what it is. It's nostalgia. You know, that's what it's for. It's just to be happy.
Yeah. I think some of them are good. I think they need to drop the crown jewels. And I think they can't do them right now anyway. But I feel like they probably should drop the crown jewels. I haven't seen one that I really liked. But in aspect of having a one-off and having nostalgia, yeah, those are good moments. But as a whole, they just don't make a lot of sense story-wise, and I think they kind of throw stories off, honestly.
Well, and when you're doing them a few times a year, I think it's also more difficult, too.
Mm-hmm.
And makes it different, and... But, I don't know, that just got me thinking about all of those, and I just wanted to kind of hear your take on what you thought about. Anyway, so it makes me think about those shows a little bit different when you think about it in a different light like that. Of being more of like a glorified house show, but...
Right.
Either way, let's get into these Survivor Series predictions. You want to jump right at the top of the card? Well, you got
Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. I feel like Team SmackDown will probably win. Just because of how they're booking it on Raw. Yeah. Usually the bigger teams don't win.
I would be kind of surprised, like you said, one off the booking. I'm going to also go with Team SmackDown with you. Because, like you said, the booking... And the fact that we haven't learned who the last guy is.
Right.
I think leaves... Maybe we find out who the last guy is on Friday, and this sounds silly.
Right.
But, especially after you've thrown out Undertaker and Brock Lesnar at me, now I'm definitely all on the Team SmackDown hype train.
Or CM Punk, who knows?
I wouldn't believe it if I saw it.
Yeah. And then after that, who is it? It's
the women's Survivor Series match.
Mm-hmm. Could care less. Raw has now lost two of their people, who are being replaced by Peyton Royce, Lacey Evans.
Yeah, and Lana in there, and the way that they booked her the other night, it's almost. I'm gonna say Team Raw wins and pulls it off because I'm going Team SmackDown with the men's, and I think that they'll have them split. Good old 50-50
booking. Well, the way they booked Lana last night kind of shows that she'll probably win the match for Team Raw. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Team Raw on that. Then you got the tag team titles or tag team matches.
New Day?
New Day versus Street Profits. This... New Day typically wins big matches, so I'm going to go with a New Day, but I think it's going to be a great match.
Man, I feel you. I think it's going to be a really good match. I'm going to go ahead and go with the Street Profits. I'm going to go with the Street Profits because I think you want to try to get them over like the New Day is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get them to that point. So I'm going to go with the Street Profits and say the SmackDown champions are going to take the... we got Bobby Lashley and Sami Zayn, Intercontinental Champion versus the United States Champion. Lashley, the U.S. Champion of Raw. Sami Zayn, the IC Champion of SmackDown. I'm going to go with Bobby Lashley. Mainly because, I don't know, Sami Zayn, I cannot get behind his character.
No. And I'm pretty sure Bobby Lashley will win.
See if Retribution gets involved with it at all.
Yeah, but I think they're going to find a way to get Sami Zayn a sneaky win, so I'm going to go with Sami Zayn on that one.
Okay, I like that. We're going to have Undertaker's final farewell. And then I guess that leaves us to the women's champions. Asuka, Raw Women's Champion versus Sasha Banks, SmackDown Women's Champion. I'm going to go Sasha here. One, because she had taken the belt off of Asuka earlier this year. I think you need to keep building her. She just defeated Bayley again. I think she needs to look really strong to like correlate the gap with Bayley.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to keep Sasha looking really strong, and I think this is a perfect way to do it. I think that they don't... I don't know if it's just they don't care much of Asuka's character or right. You know, care what she looks like. I think she's going to come off strong no matter what, but I think you got to keep Sasha as strong as possible right now.
You do, but I also think it doesn't matter that much in terms of booking. But I think you go with Asuka on this one just because of her getting back the scorecard against Sasha Banks and his two faces.
Yeah.
So we could see probably Sasha turn again, which would be weird, but that's how WWE does it.
Maybe Bayley gets involved.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Yeah. There's a lot of potential involvement in these matches.
Or Carmella when you think about it. I didn't even think about that, honestly. Because... You got Carmella that came out and kicked Sasha's head off a week ago after the Bayley match, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go with Asuka, but yeah, I think it's because of interference. And then you have the champions match.
You think that'll go on last? I think it has to, right?
It has to. I think we still get a Fiend ending.
I like it.
I think we still get it. Because, I mean, you got Roman Reigns, who The Fiend isn't done with, as it showed on SmackDown. I like how they've continued The Fiend storylines throughout the shows.
Yeah.
He's rivaling with multiple people.
And I think that's always good for booking purposes. Yeah. When you have those... complex booking situations and something they've really liked. Just because, you know, like we talked about on the show, the continuity of their booking and, you know, to see, you know, just the way that they do things isn't necessarily always, you know, they don't hold up, necessarily. And long-term booking is a very big issue. So I agree with you. I really like the entanglements throughout, you know, the universe right now.
Right. I think overall, though, I think McIntyre will have to win this match.
Interesting. I kind of agree with you, but at the same time, I think Roman takes it. My pick is Roman. I think that, obviously, Vince and WWE have always been very much behind Roman Reigns, and right now that he's hot, I don't think that there's any way that they take their foot off the gas pedal. I think that they're going to... You know, push forward as hard as they can with Roman. Try to make him the biggest star that they can because he is, you know, the guy and the guy that they want. I think it's very possible we could still see a Fiend
interference. But I think, I don't know, with the foreshadowing of the Sheamus thing, and them possibly going into a program together, I don't know if then the Fiend involves himself here. Right. Just because then what is the payoff for that? Right. And, you know, we could be looking at McIntyre going to meet Sheamus. Meanwhile, Orton and Fiend finish something up if Orton's not, you know, off TV.
Right.
Which, I don't know, I think you book yourself into a corner if you're going Orton-Fiend. Because I think Fiend has to win, but also Orton needs to win.
Right.
So, but either way, my picks were Omen for the champion versus champion match Survivor Series.
So, a lot of questions.
Absolutely.
Left to be answered for Sunday, but that will wrap up this one. And we've got Survivor Series review coming up Thursday. That was a lot of fun. I think we're probably going to do another one here in a couple of minutes. Not sure which one we've decided on yet, but we're in this. So, for that, enjoy that one on Thursday. Enjoy this one coming out before Thursday, probably. We are Wrestling Kayfabe, DJ Papa Stro. Get us on Instagram, wherever you get a podcast. Also on YouTube, Wrestling Kayfabe. And we'll see you around then. We're out of here.